Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to take off running. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's some Jack in that prayer. Hallelujah. You say, well, who's Jack? Well, praise the Lord. You just come up here and find out who Jack is. It ain't me, but man, I think that's another name for the Holy Spirit. I think he's Jack. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you know, there is some stuff in that prayer. You know, the best prayers are the ones that are led by the Spirit. And that one was led, man. Whoo, glory to God. Hallelujah. I just love it. I just love what the Lord is doing. You know, I just love that we have a real God. I love that we have a tangible God. I love that we have a God that meets you and wants to put a permigrin on your face. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people seeking drugs for stuff like that, but God does it without a hangover. Hallelujah. And aren't you glad? I'm just so glad for our Lord. I'm so glad for what he's done, you know, and praise God. You know, it gets built in us over time, the word and the things that he's doing. But God wants good things for us, amen. And above all, he wants us blessed, amen. You know, God didn't give us Jesus so we wouldn't be blessed. If you don't believe me, read Romans 8:32. But God didn't give us Jesus so we wouldn't be blessed. He gave us Jesus so we would walk in the blessing, so we could walk in the blessing, so we could finally get into what he has for us. And that doesn't mean it would be without opposition. It doesn't mean it would be without trial. We would never preach such a thing because that's just not true. But he gives us a hope in the trial. He gives us a hope through the trial. And if we just trust him, if we just believe him, we get to the other side. And I'll just say this. I'll say this in faith. But if you're here today, glory to God that you're going to go to the other side. That God's brought you this far, and he ain't going to just let you go here. But now might be the time to just kind of trust in him. Now might be the time to just let it go and let him take it. And, you know, really let him take it. When you let God take it, you don't pick it back up. When you let God take it, you don't share it with somebody else. No, when you give it over to God, you've given it over to God, and you let him take it. Now, you're going to have natural things in the flesh that you're going to have to deal with sometimes, and that's just the way of life. Praise the Lord. But God has given us the Spirit to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't know about you. Right now, I feel about 10 feet tall. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel glad. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And there's a lot. I was reading in Psalms today just about rejoicing in the Lord. Glory to God. What did I read there? Hallelujah. I'm just going to flip on over there because it just seems good. And, well, it was good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Man. Praise the Lord. Psalm 63, I believe it was, says, yes, hallelujah. Joy. I love the title of this chapter. It's called Joy in the Fellowship of God. Hallelujah. Of course, we know that's not original scripture, but it's just expressing what it says there. Amen. And it's a, look at this, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. You know, when you're in the wilderness, many of you are right now, but when you're in the wilderness, the Bible uses wilderness as a metaphor. Now, David was really in the wilderness, but God also uses it as a metaphor for being in a place in life that's hard, being in a place of life where there's plowing, where there's persevering, where there's patience, amen? You know, and it matters how we spend time. We're all going to be in the wilderness. It matters how we spend time there. You can cry about being in the wilderness. You can be sad about being in the wilderness. Or you can know that God's going to do something great through the wilderness. He's going to do something great and wonderful in you. Amen? Praise the Lord. And it starts off here. It says, O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Have you ever just thirsted for God? Have you just needed God? Hallelujah. That's exactly what David's talking about. Look at this. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Where's the power and glory of God? It's in the sanctuary. Amen. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. This is in the wilderness. This is when it's hard. This is what he's saying when it was tough. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. And see, when you're in that place where you don't know how to get out, when you're stuck and you want to cry, that's all right. I know that feeling. You ain't wrong for wanting to cry. But see, we can cry out to God. We can praise God. Hallelujah. That's when we start. That's how we start turning that thing around, is through the praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Look at this. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. People say, why do they lift up hands in their church? Well, there's a scripture right there, hallelujah. My soul shall be satisfied with as with marrow and fatness. And the soul is your mind. See, that's what happens in this, is your soul gets satisfied. Those thoughts that come against you, they'll be satisfied in that place of the wilderness once you start praising God, once you start releasing your faith through praise. And you just say, Lord, I don't care what it looks like around me. I know that it's tough here, Lord. I know that the pressure is on me. I know there's enemies at every side, but glory to God. You're God. You always bring me through. You will always bring me through, so I praise you. See, this is how you deal with it. This is how you deal with life, amen? This is how you get to the other side, amen? Glory to God, hallelujah. This is a motor on the back of your speedboat, amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what complaining is? You know what sorrow is? That's an anchor. Not a good anchor. That keeps the boat from going forward. I mean, when you got to get across the water, you don't want to get across it slowly. You want to get across it fast. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you were out in the middle of Lake Erie and all of a sudden the storm started brewing up, you wouldn't be thinking about putting around. You'd be pulling the anchor and getting that motor going. You'd be putting your feet in the water and kicking just to get you across if that's what it'd take. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's what praise is. Praise is getting everything you got behind you and just pushing that boat forward to the other side. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm just going to stop. Well, I'm not going to stop there. Thus I will bless you while I live. While I live. You still breathing? You still got reason to praise. You still breathing? You still got room to praise. Say, well, I can't. Well, maybe you can't, and then you won't. Yeah. So just praise, and you will. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied. Well, I read that. Amen? Praise the Lord. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Hallelujah. That's what I wanted to get to. Amen? Glory to God. Well, that's free, no charge. Glad you came to church today. I know you are too. Praise the Lord. We got good things to get into today. Amen? Today's message is called In God We Trust. But it's more like in the form of a question. Like, do we really trust Him? In God we trust. And we print it on our money. We talk about, we've heard about this kind of stuff. People talk about it. They talk about trusting the Lord. But do we really trust God? That's a good question. Because see, here's the thing. You can't receive from God unless you trust Him. If you don't get to that place where you trust God, you are never going to receive the fullness of what God has for you. Never. You will never get there. We have to get to the place where we trust God. And my wife shared some statistics last night, and I just thought, man, they're so good. I'm going to share them with you today. Because this goes right along with my message as well. Two totally different messages. But the statistics remain. She said she looked up some surveys, and this is what she saw. 35% of Americans surveyed see the Bible as life-changing. Only 35%. So only 35% of Americans surveyed see the Bible as life-changing. 34% of them believe it's just a story. 14%, this is talking about believers, right? Yeah, these are believers, people in churches. This isn't just Americans in general. This is people in churches. 35% of Americans surveyed believe that the Bible is life-changing. Only 35% of them think that it's life-changing. Only 34% of them believe that it's just a story. 14% of those people out of Americans believe that it's outdated. How can you trust God if you believe that the Word of God is outdated? According to Christianity Today, over 40% of Christians who attend church regularly say they only read their Bible occasionally, maybe once or twice a month. 1 in 5 Christian churchgoers say they never read their Bible, and only 1 in 5 say that they read it daily. God has given us this word. He has preserved this word throughout all eternity. And the Bible tells us that this word lasts forever. He's given it to us, and yet people are so casual about it. They don't realize that it's their lifeline. It's their lifeline, amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's the truth. See, to a believer, this should be everything. What is written in these pages should be everything. And if it's not, then you're not really a believer, because you can't get into what God is for you. You can't really understand God by not attempting to. And I know the things that will come against us sometimes to encourage or to get us to try to not read the Word or to get distracted and stuff like that. But you know, that's never what God intended for us. That's the devil trying to distract us. Amen? Praise the Lord. You're going to hold on 1 second because I have to share something with you, but it's on my desk. I'm back. Hallelujah. I just remember this. If you were at our Tuesday night prayer, There were some things that I kept forgetting. Remember that? Yeah. Hallelujah. I was just reminded of it. And I wrote it down on a post-it note. When I told you, it'd come back to me. But I wrote it down on a post-it note so I wouldn't forget it again. Amen. Post-it note. I don't care. But the devil is a distraction. Everything the devil does is a distraction. The purpose of trial, the purpose of temptation, the purpose of all these things is to distract you from the Word of God. Because when the devil can distract you from the Word of God, he knows, because the devil knows the Word better than most Christians do. And one thing the devil knows that a lot of Christians don't know is if you are distracted from this, you can never walk into the blessing of God. You can't walk into what he has for you. You'll never walk into his fullness without understanding this. And so the devil has become a king at distraction. And people get distracted. They are like sheep. Oh, the grass over there. Look at that. So they go over there, start munching on it. They don't even think about where they're at. That's why they need a shepherd. And so sheep without a shepherd, like Jesus said, are scattered and faint. And that's why so many Christians, believers, are scattered and faint, because they don't have a shepherd. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is why God set things up. He set it up for our own protection. You know, we preach the word. Sometimes people don't like what we preach. But, you know, we preach the word for people's protection, for people's help. The only reason we give the word is because we care about you. The only reason we preach the word, and sometimes we preach it boldly, the only reason we do that is because we love people. Because without the word, your lives can't change. And if you don't learn how to read the word, if you don't learn to understand the word, if you just don't even learn that this is important, your life will never change. Amen? This is why in so many churches, lives aren't changing. Because their focus is not the word. Their focus, my wife just gave a whole bunch of, she was sharing me all these things that these other denominations believe, just about women ministers. Completely false, complete lies. But they don't care. They want their tradition more than they want the word of God. And because of that, the people suffer. The people suffer. God never intended. You know, praise God. I'm not going to get into preaching your message last night, but you need to listen to it, because God never intended. He never intended for things to be this way. But, you know, Christians, they just want to do what they want to do instead of looking at what the Word says or learning what the Word says. Listen, I don't care if you're 100 years old. You can still learn something. You can still learn something. You know why I know that? Because God has given me an anointing to teach you. Amen? And so there, by default, there's already something I know that you don't know. Amen? Now, there's a lot of things you know that may know that I don't know. Praise the Lord. But God's going to teach us some things here today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 11:15. Just go ahead and pull it up. This is a statement that Jesus said many, many times in the Bible. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He would preach something hard and then he'd say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. As we learned last night, that he isn't just men. That he applies to women too. You know, the Bible was written from a masculine standpoint. You know, we talk about like mankind is kind of the same thing. But praise the Lord. He who has ears to hear. What does this mean? It means if you're going to listen, then listen. I got something for you. But if you're not going to listen, then you're just, that can't help you. It doesn't matter. If you don't want to listen, don't listen. And that's how we present the word. If you want to listen, listen. If you don't, don't. But don't come to me crying when things fall apart because you didn't listen to the word. See, the word will change the lives of people if they'll put it to practice. The word will change the lives of people if they will allow it to change their thinking. See, there's a lot of times because we've been kind of stuck in a rut because we've always thought this way, that this is the way we always want to think. But we understand that according to the word, if you don't listen, you ain't going to receive. And if you don't receive, you aren't going to get your help. And if you're going to get your help, you're not living the way God intended you to live. Amen? Just because you know somebody that went to church their entire life does not mean that there's somebody that can be trusted. And what I mean by that is that, you know, people use this excuse all the time. Well, so-and-so, they went to church all their life, and this still happened to them. I don't know whether or not they listened to the word. I don't know if they heeded the word or not. Just because someone goes to church does not mean they're heeding the word. I know lots of people that go to church that don't heed the word. Praise the Lord. I know lots of people. I've been one of those people. Sometimes I am one of those people. I endeavor to follow the word as best I can. And when I get corrected on something, that's why I still go to church, amen, and not just preach at a church, but I go to church. But, you know, we endeavor to let the word always change us and be correctable, amen. And the day we stop is the day we stop receiving all that God has for us, amen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But what if you don't even listen? There's a lot of people, you say something, it goes in one ear, out the other. They think that what I say is suggestion. Yeah, this is just a suggestion. This is just a, maybe he found a good way to live, and it's just a suggestion. If you believe that, you're never going to receive what God has for you. When I'm preaching the word, I am preaching suggestion. I'm preaching the truth of God. I'm preaching the truth of life. It said when I speak it boldly out of here, it's because that's the word that you need to change your life. And until you put that to practice, it ain't going to happen. But so many people don't even listen. They don't listen to the word. They just think, you know, they think, well, that's fine for the pastor. That's fine for a few faithful people. No, God intended it to work universally. It doesn't care. You know, the Bible says it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. You know, the Bible says that, right? It doesn't matter, but the word works the same. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, so turn with me to Proverbs 3:5. Hallelujah. You know, I was telling you about on Friday, praise the Lord, we were getting some good direction, and I shared Psalm 37, which says some similar things. These things have been on my heart quite a lot, actually, lately. But that's good, because I've been meditating on it, so there's lots of revelation there, amen? Psalm 3, 5, and 6, hallelujah. What's it say here? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, Proverbs, I'm sorry, yeah, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know what it means to trust? When you trust in something, you have ultimate faith in it. When you trust in something, there is no doubt in your mind. Amen? I was on my pastor's boat with him. He has an old boat, you know, and we were on it just cruising down the reservoir one day. And we just got on it. We stopped to eat lunch, and I just got back on it. And I decided to sit down in the seat. Amen. And I trusted that seat. It was going to hold me up. Hallelujah. And so I leaned back in that seat, and I put my feet up on the boat dashboard, I guess if you want to call it that. And all of a sudden, that seat just became untrustworthy. Well, at least the back of the seat did, and I flopped over backwards, and it was so funny because Pastor, you know, he's driving the boat and trying to grab me at the same time, and he's got me around the ankle, and I'm kind of feeling a little foolish, amen? But you know, we trust things daily. We trust things all the time, right? Don't we trust things? We just trust it's going to happen. Most people don't get in a car thinking they're going to get in a car accident. They just trust that they're not going to, right? They don't even think that they trust. They just assume that they're not going to. In fact, most of the time, if you've ever gotten in an accident, weren't you surprised by it? Yeah. You probably were, because if you weren't surprised, you wouldn't have gotten in the accident in the first place, right? So you trust things. We trust things all the time. But God tells us, the Bible tells us, to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Yeah. It means to trust Him with everything that is in us. Trust in God. You can trust in God. He's faithful and just, but He requires us to do it. This is the very basis of what faith is all about. Trusting the Lord. Trusting God that He isn't. See, and we go through this so much, but if you believe that God brings bad things in your life, you will never trust God. I know some of you are sitting there saying, well, Pastor Jeff, you say this often. I need to say it more. Why? Because people still get to that place where they don't trust God. How do I know? Because if somebody will do their own will over the word, then they don't trust God. They trust their will over the word of God. Amen? It's the truth. Lean not on your own understanding. This is so, so, so important. Please go ahead and go back to verse 5. Lean not on your own understanding. See, so many people are they're just trying to figure it out themselves. They're trying to trust what they know. Praise the Lord. This is why people get stuck. Because they only do what they know. And listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care who you are, you don't know very much. And you certainly don't know as much as God does. Amen. God has a lot more knowledge for you. And this is why I love the fact that we've been given God, given the Holy Spirit. See, listen, I couldn't do this with my own understanding. I couldn't pastor a church. I couldn't figure things out with my own understanding. But see, I was taught something that I didn't need to trust my own understanding. I didn't need to lean on that. Amen. You know, my understanding was like that boat seat. Amen. I would lean on it, and over I'd flop. And then I'd be mad, I'd flop, I'd get back up, and soon enough you'd see me leaning on it again. And I'd flop over, and people do the same thing. They come into church hoping for something. They usually come in hoping for some kind of change. They want something, they need something in their life to change. And what they do is they come in and they start to see it, they start to sense it, they start to feel it, and they're like, hey, praise the Lord, something is real about this. And so they keep coming back, but then you present them with something, and it's kind of hard on the flesh. And they lean back on their own understanding. And just like me in that boat seat, they're flopping back over. And pretty soon they'll flop back over enough that they start going, I don't know about all this stuff anyways. See, they stop trusting God because they've been leaning on their own understanding. If you trust in God and you lean on God and not your own understanding, you're never going to flop. You're never going to fall. He will keep you up. He will keep you going. Praise the Lord. The Bible says He gives us angels to keep charge over us so we won't even dash our foot against a stone. Hallelujah. He said He would protect us through and through. He said He would always see us through to the other side. He said, you can get there, but you got to trust me to do it. Praise the Lord. And this is the first and foremost thing that we have to learn about God, is that He requires trust. Amen? I love verse 6 because it says, in all your ways. How many of your ways? All of them. Acknowledge Him. Do you acknowledge God in all your ways? Well, let's look at this. If you're going to a bar and sitting on a bar stool, are you acknowledging God? Nope, you're acknowledging the devil. This is why people don't get blessed. You know what I'm saying? When people miss church for frivolous reasons, they're not trusting God. They're leaning on their own understanding. They're saying, well, it was easier. It was this or that, whatever. But whatever. You will fall back into the same trial that you always did because you are not acknowledging God. You're acknowledging things are as more important than God. Amen? Praise the Lord. He shall direct your paths once you've acknowledged Him. I love that. But you know, just like, you know, we're told that in the Bible we're told that God is like, the Holy Spirit is a guide. Just like I've preached, you know, I've preached it before and I'll say it again, that, you know, a guide is only effective if we follow the guide. He can direct your paths, but if you don't go down that path, you're not going to go where He's taking you. Amen? You know, when we travel, we a lot of times, especially if we don't know where we're going, we use the GPS or whatever. You know, and the thing I love about a GPS, and this is very just a lot like God, just like the Holy Spirit, is you can get off course a little bit, and it will redirect you. It will show you how to get back on. But how many know if you keep getting off course and keep getting off course, pretty soon the destination's further away, isn't it? Pretty soon you've gotten way out here, and all of a sudden, like, yeah, He'll direct you back there. But the truth of the matter is, now it's going to take you longer to get there. See, this is why I train my children. Listen, you just follow God. Even though it's hard, even though sometimes there will be things that will come against you in the world. Not hard because God's making it hard, but because we have opposition in the world. Amen? We have to trust God on that and understand that. But and they're starting to see, even in their young years, they're starting to see that, hey, you know what? What Dad's saying is true. If I hang on, if I press through, you know, because you think you've got a quicker way of getting there, but this is the greatest thing about, the greatest lie about from the devil is, you think you can figure out a quicker way to get there, but once you get there, you feel, oh, I just got myself further away because they didn't acknowledge God. See, I seek the Lord on everything. I do my best to seek God on everything. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, and when I'm not perfect at it, when I fail at it, I find out why. I repent and get back on course, and He takes me there. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we want to make sure that we're following God. We want to make sure that we're trusting Him. We want to make sure we're going exactly where He has us to go. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Mark 10. Praise God. Hallelujah. We want to trust the Lord. And we don't want to be people that just say we trust the Lord. You know, you've heard me make fun of the people before that say, you know, God is good all the time and stuff like that. Listen, I don't mind if you say that as long as you believe it. No, really believe it. I love it when people say that. I get pumped up when I hear people talking about how good God is. Just believe it. Just make sure you believe it. Amen? Because it's not enough to just say something. We need to believe what we're saying. These are the basic ideas of what faith even is. People think, oh, faith, oh, I'm Baptist, that's my faith. I'm Catholic, that's my faith. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing at all to do with that. It has everything to do with how and what you see in God. Amen? What you believe about Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You found Mark 10. Mark 10, 17. Praise God. We've been in these scriptures before, but we'll go to them again. Hallelujah. You know, it's not enough to just read scripture once. Now as he was going on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." See, Jesus was always redirecting it to God. He didn't take anything for himself. Jesus could have, he was God. He rightfully could have sat there, yes, son, you're right, I am God. But he didn't do that. Why did he do that? Because he's showing us, in all your ways, acknowledge him. You don't acknowledge me. It's not me that's doing it, it's God that's doing it. So when we acknowledge God, then we can walk in those things. See, that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He was acknowledging God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I never saw the connection between those two scriptures until just right now. So that's fresh for me too. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's just like sushi. You want it fresh, right? You don't want old sushi. No, old sushi's not good. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Notice Jesus did not say, "Well, the law, that's passing away, so don't worry about that." He didn't say that, did he? No, he said, you know the commandments. First thing he did was go to the commandments, right? And he pointed to that. Well, that's important, amen? I am not saying be bound by the commandments for the rest of you. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that they still have place, amen? Hallelujah. And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Now Jesus is going to take it a step further. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." So he directed him. He told him to get this guy, let's just read the next scripture. "But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Now see, some people will miss this, exactly what Jesus is saying here, completely. They'll twist it and they'll say, see, God doesn't want you to be wealthy because wealth is a sin. But that's not what Jesus was saying at all. And we're going to find out here in a minute exactly what I'm talking about. Listen, Christians, we need to expect a certain level of prosperity in our life. We do. I am not saying that everybody has to have a jet. I am not saying that you can't have a jet. But what I am saying is we need to expect that a God of abundance is going to bring a certain level of prosperity in our lives. And if we can't handle that, we will never be able to get blessed by God. Because if God wants us poor, then anybody who has anything more, anybody in the United States is already rich. If you balance it according to the world, if God wants us poor, we're all sinners, bad sinners. Yeah? Amen. Well, we got to rightfully divide the word of truth, right? Praise the Lord. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?" See, he was talking about that. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, why? Why did he answer again? Because he's clearing it up, because he knew they didn't get it. "Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? How hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God?" Amen? There's a lot of people, rich and poor, who trust in riches. How do I know that? Do you trust God? Do you trust his word over what your circumstances say? Do you do what God says no matter what your circumstances say? When you're dealing with sickness in your body, do you trust the word of God or do you believe what the circumstances say? See, we find in Scripture that every time, this entire book is full of accounts, or stories as it would be, accounts of people who either trusted God or did not trust God, and then the result of what happened when they didn't. From Adam all the way through Revelation, every single person in here, it's a story of either someone who trusted God or didn't trust God, and the results of how it ended up. Every single person. This is what we have. This is what our life is. This is explaining to us, do we trust God? Do we believe the word and what he has spoken to us over the circumstances that we are dealing with in our own life? And either we do or we don't, but we can't receive from God, because that's the other thing we see. The only people that ever receive from God in Scripture are those who trusted in him. The only ones who receive salvation are those who trust in Jesus for it, right? And then we see it all through Scripture. So why do we think that applies any differently to us? If we don't believe God, if we don't trust God, we cannot walk into what God has. And we cannot look at people who did not trust God and say, that is a reason for us not to follow God. Right. That is a reason for us not to believe the Word now. If you believe it's outdated and that's all you're ever going to believe, I can't help you. Right. I can do nothing for you. If you believe this is just a book of suggestions, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do for you. I will strive with you. I will continue. I will preach the Word. But until you get to the place where you trust God fully, you aren't going to walk in the fullness of God. On the other side of this, if you trust God fully, you will walk in unlimited, unadulterated blessing of the Lord. Amen. Whatever He has for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says it all. He knows the thoughts and the plans He has for us. The instruction of the Lord in all of your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. For He knows the thoughts. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. Praise the Lord. We all have a future. So it just can't be talking about just a future. It's got to be a specific future He's talking about. He wasn't talking about a bad future. Jeremiah didn't write that scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit. He didn't write that scripture to make people sad, to bring people down. He wrote that scripture to encourage people to come up. But you either do the Word or you don't do the Word. Amen? You know, we have been faced with this time and time again, and this is the thing we keep coming up against. There's a lot of people that think they do the Word, but the fruit of it doesn't prove out. The fruit of this, you know, the devil was working on me as a pastor. You know, my greatest desire in life is that I have fruit. Amen. Because that's what the Bible says. It says that a branch that doesn't produce fruit gets cut off and thrown into the fire. I don't want to be that branch. I want to be the one that continually produces. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the devil is always questioning or getting me to try to question my fruit. And, you know, so I was doing that. I was like, do we really have fruit? I even brought that up to my wife, foolishly. I brought that up. And my wife said, well, what about this? And what about this? See, when people are going through trials, you can have a temptation as a pastor to think about, well, there's no fruit there. But see, that's not the truth. She would remind me of so-and-so who went through this, and then they got out of that. And then they came through this trial, and they got through that trial, and they're greater over here and greater over here. And then all of a sudden you start looking around, and you're like, wait a minute. We got a church full of fruit. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you had fruit for one day, if one thing, if you did one thing, if you put one thing to practice, and your life changed for 10 seconds, that was enough to say you got that there's a fruit there. Yeah. Amen. And I've seen it over and over and over, because as we started putting those seconds together in our lives, and we let the Word change us for 10 seconds, and we go to 30 seconds, and then maybe we go for a whole minute, and then, hey, we worked up to a whole day, and all of a sudden we're seeing fruit for a day, and then we're seeing fruit for a week, and then all of a sudden years go by, and the fruit just keeps abounding and growing, and we don't stay where we were, but God keeps taking us higher. That's fruit. That's fruit. Hallelujah. Sometimes we can look at the moment and say, hey, I'm struggling right now. But just because you're struggling right now does not mean that you lost. Because you're struggling right now is actually a good indication that you're on the right track. Praise the Lord. I'm saying if you didn't do something to cause a struggle. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If you go out drinking and then you go out driving and you get pulled over and you get a ticket or you get in an accident, you certainly can't blame God for it, can you? You can only blame yourself. So in that case, you can't blame God. Obviously, there's no fruit in that. Amen? Or there is fruit, but it's not the fruit you want. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we were reading. Where was I? Do you remember? Okay, verse 24. Amen. No, we got through 24. And then 25 says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Any rich man. No, because what is he talking about? We got to read the Bible in context. Those who trust in riches. Listen, it just so happens that a lot of people trust in riches, even if they don't have them. Just because you, listen, it does not make you holy being poor. In fact, you can see this, I remember a pastor bringing this up, and it's so true. Actually, a lot of times in poverty, you see more sin than you do outside of poverty. Absolutely. You see people that are generally speaking, if you took the majority of drug abusers, they're not people that are wealthy. They're not people, I mean, the majority of them. We're talking about, if you go through the, you know, you're talking about you go through the streets in inner cities and stuff like that. Yes, a lot of people abuse substance. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that when you look at these things, you find that in those areas. You find it more. In impoverished areas, you find more sin than you do in areas that are not impoverished. I am not saying you never find sin don't find sin in nice areas, but I'm saying you find more of it. So just being poor does not equate to godliness by any stretch of the imagination, right? Praise the Lord. We have to understand. We have to use our brain, too, when we read Scripture. We have to use our brain when we're listening to things. When somebody says something that's just not right, well, it's probably not right. You know what I mean? Amen. Praise God. So, and they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who can be saved? And here again, we're going to clear this up again. Who can be saved then? And Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible, even for a rich man to go through the eye of a camel. Or a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Amen? That's what a rich man to get to heaven. Amen? Do you know what I'm saying? Even then, it's we can't, you know, rich man gonna dive through the eye of a camel. You know what I'm saying, though, amen. We got to be on track here. Hallelujah. Hey, it's morning for me as well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you understand what we're getting at? The Bible's showing us that Jesus isn't at all talking. But see, what people do is they'll get hung up on one little thing, and then they'll just focus on that, and then they think they know something, and then they start preaching it, and pretty soon a whole bunch of baby birds are believing it because they're sucking down whatever the mama bird's feeding them and not even thinking about it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So Jesus said that with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Praise the Lord. And then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Okay? We're going to get into this some more. Oh, man, praise the Lord. I am definitely not an extreme prosperity preacher, one that preaches a prosperity that is unbalanced in the Word. But if we try to preach the Word without preaching prosperity, you're a fool. You can't do it. And why do we know that? Because the Bible always leads us back to it. Always leads us back to it. God despises poverty. He despises it. I'm not saying he despises those who are in poverty, but he despises poverty because that is a ploy of the devil to keep people bound. Yes, because you can't, how can you be, God, one of the biggest things that we know about God is that he's a giver. And he wants us to be just like him. So how can you give if you have nothing? Let me ask you that. How can you be a blessing if you have nothing? How can you be a blessing to other people if you have nothing? You can't be, amen, not financially, amen. Well, praise the Lord. So it goes on, Jesus said, so Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one, everyone say no one, who has left house or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Everyone say this time. Amen? That means right now, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. He is not talking about heaven when you receive those things. He said here in this time, this is what God has for us. He says, this is the whole crux of where this idea of trusting God comes from. There is no one who leaves anything behind who will not receive in this life and the next 100-fold.
That's right.
There is no, I don't know if you got that. There is nothing that God is going to command you to do, to leave behind, to put down, to see you later to, that he will not return to you in this life. He said that is what trusting God is. It is not believing in yourself. It is not feeling that you can do it. It's saying I can put it down because I know that God will bring it back around in the right time. Christians, we have to start thinking right. We got to stop thinking with this low mentality that God just wants us beat down, broken, and poor because that is not our God. But we can't do that until we start trusting what God really wants to do. He did not give us Jesus so we would stay there. But if you choose to stay there, it's not his fault. It's not my fault. It's your fault. But you choose to stay there. Nobody where they are except by their own choice. You see the same thing, and we see the same thing in inner cities where kids are raised in the most horrible circumstances. We know people that have come out of those horrible circumstances, turned their lives around. There is no excuse. There is no excuse to live in anything but the greatness of God. There is no one who has no excuse. The Bible tells us there is nobody who has gone through something that hasn't been experienced by someone else. You are not so special in your trial. You are not so special in your trouble. You are not so special in the things that you go through that someone else hasn't seen it or seen something greater. But God has promised the same to all. It does not matter where you start. All that matters is where you end up. And where you end up is your choice. It's your choice. He's given you the ability. It doesn't matter if you got to lean on. You don't want to lean on yourself. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in God. Trust Him with your whole heart. Say, you know what? When the devil says you can't, say, no, I'm going to. There is no other choice. There is no other choice. I'm going to give you a little secret. I come in here to church. I've met a bunch of people over the years. And sometimes people come to me with lots of trials. Sometimes people come to me with lots of problems. And they'll say, what do I do about this? And I'm going to be honest with you. I'll look at those problems sometimes and I'll think, dear Jesus, they ain't ever getting out. That's what I think in my mind. But see, I'm not a pastor because I think with my mind. I'm a pastor in a family church because I think with the Spirit. I think with the Word, hallelujah. And I said, I'll tell you how you're going to get out. You're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and you're going to start putting this to practice, and then anointing meets me there, and it directs me in exactly how. See, I can't do that in my own understanding, because in my own understanding, I could barely get myself out of bed and washed. And if you think I'm joking, I'm not. In my own understanding, I couldn't do nothing, but with the Lord, I could do everything. All things are possible to him who believes, and I believe. I just happened to be dumb enough to believe God, and because I was just happened to be dumb enough to believe God, he was just happened to bless me with stuff, to bless me out of it, hallelujah. And I don't just mean with stuff, I mean with life. He just blesses me in life, hallelujah. It feels good to wake up happy, especially when there was days where all I could think about when I woke up was putting a gun in my mouth. It blesses me to wake up happy. It blesses me to wake up blessed. It blesses me to wake up with direction. It blesses me to wake up knowing that even if I screwed up yesterday, I still can today because God is still good. He didn't fall off his throne because I was an idiot yesterday. Yeah, God wants to take us into some things, but we've got to trust him, amen? Praise the Lord. You're in Mark. Go ahead and turn to, praise the Lord. Turn to Matthew 6, 19. Praise God, hallelujah. What a shame. All God wants to do is bless us. That's all he wants to do. That's all you want to do with your kids, right? Yeah. How many times you looked at your kids and thought, man, I'd like to put them in an accident to make life a little bit harder. You know, there's people that are paralyzed that think that God did it. There's Christian ministers that are paralyzed and claim that God did it. Foolishness. Yeah, because God is going to make you a minister and he wants you to get through the other side and he's just going to happen to make it harder for you. Because every time I want somebody to reach a goal, the first thing I do is make it harder for them. That makes a lot of stinking sense, doesn't it? A lot of sense. Here, I want you to get somewhere, but I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that you can't. Because I need you to learn something through it. Stupidity. It's foolishness. And if you believe that kind of Christianity, I'm going to tell you, just leave. If you're going to believe that kind of Christianity, you don't want to be, and you aren't going to come over to truth, leave. Go somewhere else that'll flower that stuff into your life and see how far you get. Because all you're going to do is take up space in here for somebody who could come in here and sit and actually receive the word and get their lives changed. Because I'm telling you what, I am done. I am done dealing with devils and people that want to let devils just run their life. I'm done dealing with it. I am done dealing with it. I'm ready. I'm here for people who want to go on to God. But if you want to be flaky, if you want to be off, if you want to be a loser the rest of your life, you be a loser. Be it somewhere else. Because I'm going to tell you something. You ain't adding anything here anyways. But a number, and a number doesn't mean anything to me. Oh, some people don't like that kind of preaching. But I'll tell you what. I'll preach it. You should have been here Friday. If you were here Friday, you wouldn't have been here today. Well, maybe you would have because some of the people came back. Amen. I think they all came back. Praise the Lord. But you understand. We just need the truth. You don't need it dumbed down for you. You don't need it coated over. You don't need it easy to swallow. You just need what's going to nourish you. You need what's going to help you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some people say, oh, yeah, the mean preacher. Mean. Yeah, I'll be mean, hallelujah, if that's what it takes. I pray for the boldness. What do you think the boldness is? The boldness is not me up here telling you how nice Jesus was. And you know, that's what the Mormons do. You want what the Mormons do, then you go with the Mormons. Hey, it ain't going to get you anywhere. It'll take you to hell, but I'm just saying. If that's what you want, that's what you got. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I don't know if there's any Mormons in here, but if there are, well, then praise the Lord, you need to come over because that religion will take you to hell. See, I ain't gonna flower things over. I ain't going to puff it up. Amen? Matthew 6:19. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's on the next page. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In context, we can say where your trust is, there your heart will be also. Again, you cannot find in Scripture where God rebukes somebody for being wealthy or having something. What he's saying is those people that, you know what this really amounts to? People who spend their lives trying to build their life. Yeah. There's a lot of people, that's what they teach us in schools, to spend our lives building our life, right? What do you want to do? Go after the profession that makes you the most money so you can be the most successful. But kind of, as we've seen lately, if you've been watching the news at all, it seems like success and money and everything that you want isn't causing happiness, isn't it? Because we see one celebrity right after another offing themselves. Why are they doing that? I'm not saying that to be mean towards them. They were struggling with things that are real. What I'm saying is that all your hopes and dreams and all the money coming true is not going to make you happy. It's not going to change your life. And if that's where it is, you're laying up treasures on earth. It doesn't matter. See, it does not matter if you're rich or poor. That is not the deciding factor. What is the deciding factor is, who do you trust in? Where is your trust? Praise the Lord. This country became so great because of the overwhelming amount that people trusted God. Because they knew God had something for them, something more. Amen? Every great revival is because people trusted God. Every great outpouring of the Spirit was because people trusted God. It's because people stop being religious. We don't want to be religious people. Listen, if it's real easy to slip into religion. You just keep coming and just don't do anything and just slip into religion. You come to church every Sunday. Not listen, whatever you want to do, just come into church and you just be there. You just take up a seat. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to do you any good. What good does you good, and this is what we got to stop. You know, the body of Christ today is the most wishy-washy body of Christ that's probably ever existed. And I'm going to tell you why. Because people jump from here to there. They have no place where they get faithful. You know, one of the greatest things that covenant teaches us is faithfulness. Faithfulness says you don't skip around. How many like their spouses just skip around on them? No, well, God doesn't like it either. I'm going to tell you something else. Pastors don't like it either. It isn't fun when you see people that they'll be there when we want, but God forbid we bring anything. I'm not talking about finances. I'm like, bring something of yourself. Say, hey, you know what? This changed my life. I want to see it change someone else's. Because I'm going to tell you something. Wishy-washy Christians, they'll never receive God and they'll never do a thing for God. Why? Because they can't. They can't because they're out of the will of God. God has called every person to a church. He has called every person to a pastor. He has called every person on earth to that. But if you're going to be a wishy-washy Christian, you will not receive what God has for you. You may have a level. God will always try to bless us as much as he can. But there's only so far he can go. Praise the Lord. Did you tell me to do this today? Hallelujah. I woke up. I'm still happy. That's the thing. I am in the joy of the Lord. You might not feel it. But see, listen, I am not preaching against people. That is not what preach is about. Boldness is not about coming down against people. Listen, Jesus did the same thing that I do, probably a lot greater. I know he did. I am not against people. I am not preaching people down. But I'm preaching against those devils that are operating in your life. I'm preaching against those devils that you're allowing to operate in your life. I'm saying stop it. Because if you don't stop it, you aren't going to get blessed. And I want to see you blessed. My whole goal for this, the whole reason that I pastor a church is to see people get blessed, to see people get help. I'm following the plan of God, but that's what the purpose of a pastor is for. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Did I read all that? Amen. Where your trust is, Where your trust is, there your heart will be also. Do you know why my heart is with God? Because I actually trust Him. Think that we, why does a family give up their entire weekend for God? Because they trust Him. Here's a family right here that trusts God. Here's a family right here. Well, they're split, but not because Bob's back there being faith. You know, yesterday, I just come into church yesterday. I'm gonna give you a little example of just how faithful some people can be. We come down to the church yesterday to get something. Bob's truck's parked out here. My wife said, "What's Bob doing here?" I said, "I'll tell you what he's doing. He's probably doing something faithful." And he was in here cleaning. Why? Because somebody asked him to? No, because he was taking care of business. Hallelujah. Because he's trusted, because he knows. See, that's what trustworthy people do. That's what faithful people do. They say, "Wait, where can I be a blessing and not where can I be a drain?" Hallelujah. Now, if you just came in, if this is your first few times here or whatever, your first time here, or you've just been coming for a little while, well, praise the Lord, you work into that. You know what I'm saying? We're not just, but see, listen, the plan of God, Christianity, I'm going to tell you something, Christians. If you're a Christian, listen up. I'm going to tell you something. Look, being a Christian, the truth about the Bible and being a Christian is not about just living your life and then serving, you know, going to church on Sunday, call it serving God, because that's not serving God. But it's not about that. It is about transforming your life to the point where God, there is nothing bigger in your life than God. And whatever is bigger in your life than God will hold you back from getting to Him. Now listen, we all have to live lives. You can't all be, you know, you can't all be preparing in sermons all week, you know. I know we have people that have businesses and people have good jobs and stuff like that. You know, and you have to focus in that area. But you know what? Those are all given to us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And what I mean is not just necessarily giving free stuff, but following the Lord. Because God didn't call us to just give everybody free stuff either. You know, there's a lot of people that take that too far. I remember as a person who built, everybody that found out I could build in a church, oh, glory to God, they're knocking on my door. Hey, can you come over and help me do this? I actually got a text one day. I'll never forget this text from a brother in the faith, amen? I got a text from this brother, and it said, "Hey, my kitchen sink stopped working. What can we do to fix it? What can we do to fix it?" Now, I help anybody. I was always willing to help people. But there's a difference when you just start going around demanding, not caring whether I got a family. And furthermore, I haven't ever got a text saying, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to come help you do this." Never saw that text. See, we got to be careful about that. There is bad ground where we can sow the seeds into bad ground. I don't want to do that. Amen. But at the same time, you know, so we have to follow God and follow the Lord in the direction that he's taken us. But God will show us, if we're willing, He'll show us areas to pour into, to increase, that will increase us, that will increase those around us. You know, God's blessing never just increases one person, by the way. It never increases one person. It will increase many people. Because the way God's blessing works is as you give out, it helps those people, and then He can bless you greater. And then you go, as a result, you go out and bless more. That's exactly what it's about. You know, the greatest thing about God's plan and God's design is you can start anywhere you're at. If you have a penny, you can start with it. How do we know? Because there was a woman with two mites that gave more than all the rich people. She started with a penny, but she was willing. She was willing to follow the Lord. She saw, you know what it was? In following God, and we preached about this, I think, on Sunday or Friday, but you got to understand, I preached like four messages this week, so I got a lot going on in me right now. But, praise the Lord, what was I talking about? Yeah, you can trust God with, following God. I know what it was. Following God isn't always about specifically having an angel come down and say, "Hey, glory, this is what you do." You know, that's not what following God is. That can happen, but it's not very often. Amen. Sometimes following God is just knowing to do good and then doing it. Remember we read that on Friday. Sometimes it's just knowing to, you know what, this is just good. I just see this here. This is something that's good to do, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow it. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what it is. And then, but there's another aspect to that. Because after you've done good, you also have to trust God that He'll bring it back around. Yeah. You have to trust God He's going to bring it back around. When you've sowed into somebody, well, Lord, I've done Your word, and I've done it out of the right heart. I expect you to do what Your word says. Because the Bible tells us to expect Him to do what His word says. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. I added some extra scriptures in here just in case, but don't you know I don't need them. Deuteronomy 32:21 says, "They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols." Whew. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. Now I'm going to explain what this is about. God was talking about his people that he delivered out of Egypt. His wonderful, the wonderful Jewish people he delivered out of Egypt. But they have provoked him to jealousy by what is not God. Our God is a jealous God. He will have no gods before him. Just because you don't worship some kind of idol or some kind of make-believe God does not mean that you don't have a God before God. A God is anything, what he's talking about is anything that you will put before God. Anything that is before God, it provokes him to jealousy. And look what he did. He says, they have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But see, people say you can't be, oh, you know, God is love. God is love. He's a God of love. But the Bible also tells us that he gets angry sometimes too. Sometimes he gets mad. And when he gets mad, sometimes he does something about it. Amen? So don't be telling me that Jesus is all about just petting lambs and, you know, on a nice sunny hillside somewhere. You know, that's not Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Praise the Lord. He was very serious. Hallelujah. He was serious about God. So much so that he gave his entire life for the work of the Lord. You don't think Jesus enjoyed being here? Of course he was human in flesh. Of course he enjoyed being here. You don't think that Jesus thought, well, you know, I'd like to just get me one of those, those new high-powered sailboats and just go out there on the Sea of Galilee or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Of course, there was desires in his flesh. The Bible says that he went through all the same things we went through. Amen? Praise the Lord. I will provoke them to jealousy who are not a nation. You know what he did? Jesus opened the door for us to come in. And he said he was going to use that to provoke his own people to jealousy. Yeah, he went and got the scumbags. That's what he did. The Bible tells us that we are scumbags. I'm not being mean. I know that's not politically correct today, but we were scumbags. When we were living in sin, we're out there in the world, you're a scumbag when you're doing that. Yeah, you were. I was the scumbaggiest of the scumbags. I mean, I had the King Scumbag Award. Hallelujah. That's the way I was. I'm not joking. That's exactly what he did. It would be like this. It would be like, can you imagine, like having a king there and all and his children, and they have everything that they could ever want, right? They have access to everything. We see, you know, Prince so-and-so just got married to some other person, Duchess is she now or something like that, you know, and people, they get married, they have all, they don't even work, they just do what they want to do, right? But can you imagine the king getting tired of that and saying, you know what? I'm tired of your antics. I'm tired of you not caring. I'm tired of you not doing what I wanted you to do. And so guess what? I'm giving your inheritance to that guy out there that's begging in the street. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what he did. That's exactly what Jesus did. He gave the inheritance that belonged to the Jews to us. And you know what the people today are doing? They're out there playing their antics. They're like not working. They're not doing anything. They're doing what they want to do for God. Or they're not doing what they want to do and not do anything for God. That's exactly what the church looks like today. So there's a separation coming between the church. There's the flesh church, the people that will just operate according to the flesh, and they're being separated. And God's drawing out those who are going to be serious. He's drawing out those who want to do something for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what's happening. And so I'm not at all put down by numbers or anything like that, because what's going to happen is eventually there's going to be, people are going to fill it up. And you better be careful, because there might not be room for you later on. There might not be room for you if you won't do right and try to come back and say, hey, you know, I want to be part of this. It might be too late. Listen, we got to be into the plan of God while it's happening. We got to be part of it while it's going on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to close with this scripture. Galatians 4:8. Hallelujah. Oh, the word is so good. So, so good. Praise the Lord. Galatians 4:8. I love the word. I love the word. So good. Galatians 4:8 says, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you serve those things which by nature are not God's. See, that's saying the same thing there. You serve those things, which by nature are not, they're not even gods. That's what we served in that old life. But now, have you, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again, to be in bondage? If you come into the church and start to see the change, but then you start reverting to the ways that you always did things, you return to the weak and beggarly elements. You go back to bondage. You go back to those things, and you leave the blessing of God that was there for you all the time. You leave it. You leave it out in front of you, and you return back to those things. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, Jesus warned. He said, when he healed a woman, a certain woman, he said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Listen, there's a truth to something here. You can play in sin for a little while and think that you're okay, but it's coming to bite you, and a worse thing will come upon you. The Bible tells us in Jesus talked about a man who had a demon cast out of him, and the demon went away, and he came back, and he come back, and he found the inside of the man was all cleaned up. You know, he was looking all good. But so he goes and grabs more demons. They're more powerful, and because this person didn't change what they were doing, what happened is more came in, and they were worse off. He said the last day of that man was worse than the former. See, that's exactly what happens to people who don't sell out. It may not happen in 1 year. It may not happen in 5 years, but it will happen. It will happen. You mark my words. I see it happen all the time. People who aren't serious for God, you can be unserious for so long. You know, and it's not that God is trying to punish you. That's not what we're preaching. God wants to bless you. His whole goal in life is to bless you. His whole design for this earth was to bless you. Bless me. That's what he wants to do. That's all it is. The whole word, the reason I preach this word is because if you do, or even just what I said today, don't live in fear. You don't live in fear. Fear is not of God. You don't need to live in fear because Jesus said that we can do it. We can do all things through God who strengthens us. And because we're connected to a person that's going to teach us the word, that's exactly what's going to happen. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to move together, not in fear, but towards those things of God. And we're going to watch our socks be blessed off, amen. And we're going to take it to others and help them too, amen.